In Crystal Hannah Kim's debut novel, If You Leave Me, the protagonist is a young South Korean woman whose life is changed by threats of attack from the North. But this isn't about Kim Jong-un's nukes in 2018. This is the Korean War in 1951. After Hemi's village is invaded by the Communist Army, she and her family move to a refugee camp. There, she escapes daily life through romantic adventures with Kyungwon. But when Kyungwon's wealthier cousin sets his sights on Hemi, she makes a decision that will reverberate for the rest of all three of their lives. If You Leave Me is published by William Morrow, and we're happy it brought Crystal Hannah Kim to the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Nancy.
I'm so happy to have you. And you already took a selfie of me, so I feel very important. So the novel starts during the Korean War, and it follows Hemi, your protagonist, through its aftermath. What drew you to that particular time period?
I think that what drew me was two different things. One was that all four of my grandparents survived the Korean War, and my maternal grandmother and I are very close because I was born in Queens, and she came to raise me.
I was born in Queens.
Oh, no way.
Holla.
Yay.
Go on, sorry.
Flushing Hospital.
Yay, Jamaica, Terrace Heights, which is no longer there, but hey.
So, my grandmother, she came to raise me, and I'm really close to her. Mm-hmm. And I grew up hearing all of these stories about Korea and the Korean War in particular. And then there was just such a strong contrast between that and growing up here in America, where people did not know Korea. My classmates and peers did not know anything about it, did not know about the history. So I wanted to write about this war because of my own interest in my own culture, but also because I thought that we need more literature about the Korean War.
You know, you're absolutely right. I'm thinking right now that I think the closest most Americans come to knowing about the Korean War is MASH.
Yes.
The TV show MASH, the movie and the TV show, which really didn't have to do with the people of Korea as much as it did about the American workers and soldiers and whatnot that were there. How much context did you think you needed to give your readers who might not know, like many of us don't, about the Korean War?
I realized, actually, when working with my editor on revisions, that I needed to give more context than I thought. Mm-hmm. And my editor is this incredibly bright, intelligent woman, and her father was a soldier in the Korean War, and yet she said that she also didn't know enough about it.
An American soldier?
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and really, the Korean War in America is called the Forgotten War, and there's so much literature and so much cultural consciousness about World War II and the Vietnam War, but nothing about Korea.
Yeah.
So I decided that I needed to give a lot of information about the Korean War, but I also wanted to be very true to these characters.
Sure.
Because it's first person, and you know, at that time, there were not newspapers during the war.
There were not newspapers?
Well, during the war.
No kidding.
Yeah, so the citizens themselves knew very little. So I needed to be true to what they would know during the war, but also give backdrop to the reader. So I needed to balance that.
Well, and you do. You balance it beautifully because it's not as though the story stops and then we have 10 pages of exposition.
Right.
You manage to weave it in very delicately.
Thank you.
So what led you to start writing this novel?
I have always loved writing, and when I was in college, I kept writing these stories that were about these women who were very blurry and vague, raceless. They were, you know, they were not interesting, and I think it's because I was pushing against this advice that I needed to write about my culture, my people, and I was stubborn, and I didn't want to do that, and I needed to take my own, you know, time to get there.
I so understand because I was a creative writing major at Oberlin.
Oh,
and while
amazing.
I appreciate my professors very much, I feel like we have a bond in that you really need to write what you know, which to me felt like code of writing, quote unquote, the Black experience, perceived by people who weren't Black, and seen as only one experience, not a broad range of things. And I liked writing comedy. So I was really kind of like, it didn't work out. In fact, I think the best writing that I did had to do with protesting what they wanted me to write and writing about the situation after I left.
Yes,
how was it for you? Were you a writing major as an undergrad?
I wasn't a writing major because I went to Columbia undergrad, and at that time, the creative writing was not a major.
So
until
who was it
later.
That said write what you know? Where did you get that from?
It was I took writing courses.
Okay,
I was an English major.
Got
but
it.
I took writing courses at Columbia, and that really rankled me.
I'm telling you,
right?
Yeah, don't write tell what me what know. To write.
Right, especially because it's coded.
Right,
right.
And they don't know what you know.
Exactly.
They mean write what we think you should know.
Yes.
Yeah. So that bothered you, and you wrote a whole essay about it for the Paris Review.
Yes,
which
I did.
I loved.
Oh, thank you so
You're
much.
You're welcome. So please continue. So that like who you are and what is that's what led you to write these faceless kind of person. That was your protest.
Yes, that was my protest.
You go, girl.
Thank you. And I needed to take my own time
and
think about what are the stories that intrigued me. And I loved hearing stories. I come from a family of storytellers. And my dad is actually a quiet person, but when you ask him about his childhood, he has all of these incredible, very vivid stories of running around and catching grasshoppers to eat them because they were hungry.
Right.
And he used to think that it was just for fun that they would run around, but it was actually their body innately hungering for protein. So all these stories were just fascinating to me, and I realized, you know what, I want to write about these stories, and I needed to make that decision for myself.
You had to come to it in your own time. I'm
yes.
speaking with the wonderful Krista Hannah Kim about her debut novel, If You Leave Me, a novel. So tell me, you had talked earlier about your research and talking to your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yes.
She was another great storyteller, I'm assuming.
She was an incredible storyteller, and I actually... since this book has come out, I've been talking to a lot of Korean Americans who told me that they're very excited to read this book because their family members won't talk about the war.
Why was that?
I think because it was so traumatic and it's very difficult. But my grandmother was fortunately this woman who loved to share her stories, including her painful stories.
Good for her.
Yeah. And so she was just like a very independent, interesting young woman who was a refugee herself during the Korean War, and later she was a divorcee at a time when that was completely
unheard of.
Unthinkable. And she raised five incredibly fierce young women.
Unheard of.
Exactly. And so I loved talking to her, and I always took a lot of notes, but then once I decided to write this novel, I did a formal interview,
mm-hmm.
and I visited her in Korea during my MFA, during my summer, and really interviewed her and took down kind of a biography. And her story is wild and incredible, and really, Hemi is the main character, is inspired by her, but very different.
I was going to ask.
Okay. Yes. You know, there's a lot of fiction that I used to create Hemi, but the seed of my novel was my grandmother's story.
So has your grandmother read the book?
She has not. So she lives in Korea and she cannot read English.
Okay.
And so she has not, but she's very excited and she's hoping that it'll be translated.
Oh, I hope so too. I can imagine the phone calls. You
yes.
know. Crystal, I can't believe that you told them, you know, that kind of thing.
No.
Of course, yeah, maybe a little less hysterical. So, okay. So the novel, back to the novel, it spans like a 15-year period.
Mm-hmm.
So what was harder for you, trying to keep the characters consistent over that period of time or figuring out how to evolve them in ways that were believable over that span? I could see how that might be a challenge.
Yes, I really wanted the characters to grow,
mm-hmm.
because Hemi in the beginning is 16 years old, and the two men in her life, Kyungwon and Jisoo, are also young teenagers.
Right.
And so they're impetuous and they're kind of reckless even in the midst of this war. And I really wanted to have them grow and have the reader experience their growth with them. And so that was really difficult. But by the time I started writing this novel, I knew the characters very well. And so I knew how they would think and how they would react to certain events. And they didn't react always the way that I would want them to,
right.
but I know them so well.
Well, I think that's one of the things I loved is that you kept their sense of being teenagers,
mm-hmm.
and young against that backdrop. I mean, we still saw these really sweet little intimate goofy moments against
you.
What, you know, all the war that was going on outside of them.
Right.
So Hemi has four daughters,
mm-hmm.
in this book.
Yes.
So what made you want to explore that mother-daughter relationship?
I love mother-daughter stories. And again, my maternal grandmother and I are really close.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and I are close.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother had five daughters.
Five daughters, right.
And I grew up around a tribe of really strong women.
Tribe, I dig it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And but they're all very different in temperament and personality. And so I've always been drawn to that story. And I think that in literature, women's stories are marginalized or set aside or looked down upon. And I really wanted to write a serious book that had a woman at its center.
Now, you've written and talked about this idea of writing, quote, unlikable yeah. women. So what do you mean mm-hmm. by that? I already like that they're unlikable. What do you mean by that?
So the unlikable female narrator or character is just a trope that I've heard discussed a lot,
okay.
right? And I think that when a woman in a piece of literature is complicated or makes decisions that you might not always agree with, you're immediately labeled unlikable.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that, yeah, right?
Isn't that unfair,
so
Crystal?
Unfair.
It's not right.
It's not fair.
But it happens.
Yes.
So your idea is to lean in and go with those kind of characters
yes.
and sort of show the full
yes.
range of what they're going through.
Because I don't think that likability is not something that we discuss when we talk about male characters.
Never.
And so it's just, it's so silly,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's unfair, and I think it's a way to kind of put aside women in literature. And so I really wanted to lean in, as you said, and to create characters that are very complicated mm-hmm. and have desires of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And through Hemi, I wanted to explore a woman that you don't always agree with, but you understand why she's making these choices.
Of course, and then she goes through this postpartum depression, which
yes.
is very difficult. Another topic that doesn't really get discussed like it
yes.
should be. Talk about that.
Well, I wanted to write a war narrative that really skewed away from the male war narrative, right?
Because they're the ones fighting the war
exactly.
and they get all the attention as if the people that are left behind aren't fighting their own kind of wars.
Exactly, as if the women's experience is not important.
Correct.
And so I wanted to then explore what the aftermath would look like, including the trauma that women would have undergone because of the war,
mm-hmm.
and also the trauma that comes from giving birth and being a mother during this really difficult time, or just being a mother in general. You know, postpartum depression is very real,
it
and
is.
It's not discussed.
Do you have children?
Enough. I don't have children.
You've done a wonderful job. I don't either, but from what I understand, you've done a very good job of describing all of that.
Thank you.
I have to ask you, just veering off course for a second, mm-hmm. something that I really loved, your descriptions of food in this book. Okay? They're so vivid.
Thank you.
So what's that about? What are you obsessed with food?
Yes.
Let's just say,
I love food.
It's not foody. We just love food.
No, I love food.
I love how you write about it.
Thank you. I mean, I think that food is something that is so integral to Korean culture, I mean any culture,
right.
really, right? But it's a way to communicate, and especially for these characters who hunger for so much during
Nicely
the war.
Nicely said. Hunger.
Yes.
I get it.
So food is just so important. And it's also a joy to write. I love writing about food.
Can I say that the book itself has a beautiful cover, and it's got these deep purple and pink flowers. Before you
Thank
even
you.
Look at the book, I wish you all could see this. It feels so good.
It's so soft.
Which you all will be experiencing tonight when Hannah Kim gives her conversation in Brooklyn. But it feels soft. Talk about the flowers that are on the book.
This cover means so much to me
mm-hmm.
because every flower on the cover actually represents a relationship that Hemi has. And so these all come up in the book, but
okay.
in very subtle ways. So I don't think that the reader would really know unless they were paying attention. But for example, the top right flower
mm-hmm.
is a Pasque flower.
Mm-hmm.
And Hemi describes her children as Pasque flowers at one point. And Hemi dyes her nails with these flower petals, which is a Korean traditional custom.
No kidding.
Yeah, I used to do it too when I would go visit Korea.
You're going to have to tell me what petals, because we'll talk about that later.
Yes, and so the center flower, which is a bit abstract,
mm-hmm.
that is the flower that she paints her nails with, and
okay.
she associates that flower with Kyungwon. So each of the flowers have a special meaning, and so...
Were you instrumental, I would gather, in the design of this
yes.
cover. Is this something that you had in mind when you were writing it, that's how you wanted the book to look?
Not when I was writing it, but after I had these discussions with my editor, we decided we wanted something very lush, mm-hmm. and we wanted it to be abstract. You know, I very specifically said I don't want a woman with a bun or, you know, chopsticks or anything like that.
You tell them. That's right.
Yes, right?
That's right.
Yes.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Before we go, can you tell us a little bit about or tell me about your how you write, how what your process is? Because I struggle with structure and deadlines and how to make sure I get things on the page. What do you do?
I mean, I started writing this in my last semester of the MFA. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, the MFA was over and I had so much more to write. So it was really putting strict deadlines on myself. I try to keep kind of the workshop atmosphere where every couple of weeks I would try to be finished with the chapter.
Is that one of the things that having that being in an MFA program offers that maybe trying to write on your own doesn't offer, having that kind of structure?
I think so. I like structure.
Yeah.
And it helped me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it helped me because I was forced to submit.
Right.
And I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I could keep writing forever, but I need to stop myself.
And so that helped. That gave you checkpoints and,
yes.
and do you need deadlines to write? Or can you just kind of write on your own?
They're self-imposed deadlines. But yes, I like deadlines, even if I just make them up myself and put them in my calendar, just to, again, make myself stop writing.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Have you got anything else in the works? What's coming up next?
I'm writing my second novel.
Oh, boy. And yes. Then was this going to be like your grandmother's story, or is this something?
This is totally different, okay. Something that I was just inspired by.
All right. Yeah. I'm intrigued, and yes. I can't wait. I've been speaking with Crystal Hannah Kim about her debut novel, If You Leave, a novel.